and that we are going to be the light and the salt in the world. And in this writing in Ephesians in chapter 6, Paul talks about, okay, you are going to be the children of the light. You're going to have changed lives. You are going to live like people who love God. Okay, now you have to watch out. Now, before you, when you live like the people in the world, when we live like people, like everybody else in the world, the devil doesn't have to mess with us. Satan's minions do not need to bother us. If we are not living differently than the rest of the world, if we're not giving our testimony, if we're not living as people who have received the grace of Jesus Christ, then we are to be left alone. It is only when we change our lives, when we change our words, when we change our hearts and our thoughts. And so Paul is now saying that you have to be prepared for attack. That you have to be ready to come up against what the evil in the world will throw against you. Hear now the word of our Lord. Start with 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Keep this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
How many of us have ever signed a contract, an agreement, a credit card, a mortgage, a car loan, an agreement maybe that a student is given at the beginning of the school year that they will abide by the rules? Yeah. Well, when you read that agreement, let's take a mortgage payment, a house payment, for example. When you read that agreement, it talks about conveying this thing to you in return for what you are giving them. They're conveying this piece of property to you. And it talks about how that you will pay for it this amount of money over so many years or months or whatever it is. And at the end of that time, it will become yours. But it also has in it that if in the off chance you don't pay for this house, you don't make these payments, this is what's going to happen. This is what will happen on this date, after many days after you fail to make the payment and everything, and then they will do this, and then they will file this, and then they will foreclose and take the house back. They will repossess the car. If you don't make the payment on the credit card, this is what they're going to do, and this is what it's going to cost you. If you don't follow the student contract with the school, this is what's going to happen. This is how it'll be handled. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just take that part out? If we could just take that part out where they can take our house back. Take that part out where they can repossess our car. Or they can seize our assets or lay claim to this because we didn't do what we were supposed to do. Wouldn't that be nice? That's how many, many people, I would dare say, many, many Christians look at the Bible. Is we just want to take that part out where it talks about the evil one, about Satan. You know, Satan is something that we hesitate to talk to our children about. Satan is something that we hesitate to talk to our spouses about. Satan is something we hesitate to talk to somebody that we want to come to church. We don't want to talk about Satan. But it's like the real estate contract that we sign, or the credit card contract, or the car, or the student agreement. It's in there. It isn't going to go away. The truth that there is an evil one is just as true as there is God. Now, the evil one is nothing like God. Like you and I, he was created and made by God. He was given very different character, very different resources, very different abilities, but still a creature of God. God is omnipotent or all-powerful. Satan is not. God is everywhere at the same time, or omnipresent. Satan is not. The devil can extend his power and does extend his power. And as we read here in this scripture, in verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and then against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." It tells us, if you remember, don't you recall, when Jesus banished when he spoke to the demons that were in the pigs, they said, our name is Legion because we are many. Well, in a Roman legion, that's a minimum of 600. But legion is normally used as an immense, large number. And so the minions of the devil said that we are many. And so the devil cannot be in two places at one time. He's not like God. But the devil can have influence through his spirits and minions. Now, the devil is not a physical being, as far as Scripture tells us, as far as we can know. God certainly could have him appear as a physical being, but that would be just like we have read accounts of the angel Michael and the angel Gabriel appearing so that people can see them. But they are spiritual beings. They are spiritual beings. Satan was just like, as far as we can understand from Scripture, just like the angel Michael and the angel Gabriel. The only difference is that Satan envied God's power and fell from God's grace, as Michael and Gabriel did not. They loved God more than themselves. The devil is not an evil counterpart to God. Just like you and I, the devil was created by God. It can never approach equality to God. That's why evil can never win against us if we are in God's spirit, if we are with God. Don't you recall the stories in the Old Testament when like we just read here today, that even though the people of Israel were outnumbered, the enemies fell and perished in front of them. God's angels, God's spirit is all powerful. But without God's spirit, we are absolutely no equal to the devil. Without the Holy Spirit, we have no chance. Without God on our side, we would perish. We have to remain in the Lord. We have to win the battle. We have to be with God. We have no ability to match the supernatural powers of Satan and his minions without God and his word. Now, like you and like me, though, the devil's powers are limited to those that God has given him and created in him. It's hard to believe in the devil. It's much easier to believe in Jesus Christ than it is to believe in the devil. Just like when we read a contract about buying a car, it's a lot easier to read and say, wow, in 36 months this car could be all mine, instead of spending time and thinking about, what if I don't make the payments? We like to gloss over that part of Scripture. But this is God's Word. Every word in it are God's Word. And there are no extra words in God's Word. Every word is there for a reason and a purpose. And we can benefit from it. There was a renowned psychiatrist, Dr. Scott Peck. I think M. Scott Peck, I think it was. He wrote, if you ever read A Road Less Traveled, okay? And he specialized, he had been very high up in the Surgeon General's office. He was a consultant to the Surgeon General of the United States. He was considered one of the most renowned psychiatrists in the country. And then he set off in the private practice, and he spent his practice specializing in people who were exhibiting evil. Because of his skills and his expertise, he became known as a person that who could help the criminally ill and who could help people who were in dire need. But he ran and started running into people that he couldn't help. And he worked with them for months and years and could not help them. And someone suggested to him that perhaps what they needed was an exorcism. And he said, that was a bunch of bunk. He said, I went to church when I was a kid, but he said, I don't believe that stuff. I'm an adult now. I know better. And he was invited to attend an exorcism. Some months later, he was baptized in a non-denominational church. He saw evil in that exorcism, and he became a believer. in God, in the power of God. And he treated his patients from that time forward with prayer and with appealing to God and helping them with their spiritual life. And he went on to write books called People of the Lie and Glimpses of the Devil. C.S. Lewis was another who was a renowned atheist who set about studying the Bible so he could argue effectively with his Christian friends and found Jesus Christ in the Word. Now the devil is only, because the devil can only be at one place in one time, it's unlikely that you or I would ever encounter the devil directly, at least in this life. And hopefully never. As a matter of fact, we think about the devil having a big presence in the Bible, but if you look at it, only Eve, not Adam, and Job, and Jesus Christ, and Judas, and Peter, and Ananias, but not Sapphira, his wife, actually directly had interaction with Satan, according to Scripture. Now, there may have been hundreds more. We don't know. Probably was. But the Scripture only tells us about that Satan was in him. Satan guided them. They had given over to Satan. Paul spends a lot of time teaching us how to protect ourselves from the evil one. So we know what God is like, but what is Satan like? Paul says that he schemes against you and your relationship with God. He uses the actual word schemes. He stands behind the dark powers of the world, and he stands behind the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So what are we to do? We're mere people. What are we to do? Well, if you go back to Ephesians 1, in verse 3, it says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And it goes on and says, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory. Well, I'm sorry, I'm in Galatians. Okay. Can't read that. It didn't sound right. It starts the same sentence. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So while the evil one is in charge of the evil that exists, God is in charge of this heavenly spirit that protects us. We read in the Scripture that we are to stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. What is the belt of truth? I am the way, the truth, and life. Jesus Christ is the truth. The word of Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge, when Jesus says, "I am the truth," what he's saying is that anything that disagrees with my word is false. So if we want to know if something's true, all we have to do is it consistent with the teachings of Jesus Christ. That is, and he's saying, put that truth around you. And it talks about a belt here. We're talking about armor. Picture the belt that your average police person wears today. Okay? It's a belt of power. It's a belt that strengthens them. It's a belt that supports them and will carry heavy weights. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. If you look at Isaiah 59:17, it says, he put on the righteousness as his breastplate. Talking about God. And it goes on and it says, and the helmet of salvation. So Paul wasn't making this stuff up. He was taking it directly from Scripture and the Word of God. The breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is what you have when you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have put on the righteousness. You have put on Jesus Christ. You have been cleansed of your sin. And when God looks at you and sees you, you are righteous. This is the imputed righteousness that Jesus Christ has given us. And it says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now here's where you and I come in. It says that our feet are to be equipped with the readiness. We are not to sit down in a cellar. We're not to be staying in the bunker. We're not to be, it doesn't tell, you know, if you are in the bunker, if you are in the cellar, if you are in the safe house, if you are hidden out of sight in a cave, you don't need armor. You're out of harm's way. You're in a fortress. You don't need it. Your feet are fitted for the readiness to go out and be in the world, sharing the word in the world, sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and walking in the midst of everything that evil throws at you in peace, in confidence, in assurance that you are not walking alone, but you're fitted with the armor of God. That you have the power of God, that you do not need to fear, because you have God and you have put on Jesus Christ. You don't have to fear standing before God. You don't have to fear the whatever people throw at you. You don't have to fear whatever the evil one throws at you. You have peace and you don't have to stay in the bunker. You don't have to hunker down. You don't have to stay out of sight. You can be out in front. You can talk to that person. You can pray with that person. You can ask God with boldness for healing and mercy. You can ask God with boldness to take care and to relieve you of these problems that you have. Putting on the armor of God equips you to take on the world, to take on evil, to take on the troubles that life throws at us. If you have the armor of God, you don't need to be in the shelter. You can walk and hold your head up and boldly face whatever comes at you. You can boldly approach God because he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you can do this with great confidence. And you can do this in peace. Amen.